Yeah, we met at a dance after a Harvard Glee Club concert, and that went on from there, I guess, is what it, the way it happened.
And John, you worked for both the CIA and TWA, the old airline, before you got into journalism, right?
That's right, yeah. I've said to quite a few people since that time that just about everything that I've done in my life has changed so radically that I couldn't even recognize it anymore. I mean, I used to think of the CIA in the 1950s at the height of the Cold War as being a kind of a nice bunch of people. And the reputation isn't quite like that anymore. Okay. And then that airline business, when I think of the way we used to take care of passengers, I mean, we couldn't do enough for the passengers in the 1950s.
The good old days.
You know, rare whiskeys and good food, as good as we could make it.
Hard to imagine. You know. So how did you get into journalism then initially?
I was working for TWA in New York, out in Long Island, and Sue's father used to come through New York once in a while.
And we should say who that was, Don Anderson, very well-known newspaper guy.
In fact, the man who was as much responsible as anyone for having Lee Enterprises get the Anaconda newspapers in Montana in 1960.
Really threw off the so-called yoke of the copper
collar. Right, the copper collar. Anyway, your question was, how did I get into journalism? And Don Anderson said to me, in our house in Long Island, that you ought to think about the newspaper business, because everybody in the company that I work for is about my age, the people, the leaders of the company. They're all going to die at the same time, and there's going to be some terrific opportunity. And, of course, at that time, the newspaper business was doing very, very well. In fact, the business of newspapers had sort of figured out how to make money in that business at that point. After some frustrations with New York City and the job I had, which didn't have a whole lot of future in it, I said, okay, I'll give it a try. In that era, the 1950s, American business was very interested in trying out management training programs. So although this was a small group of newspapers, they thought they'd put together a management training program. So I had the advantage of learning a little bit about writing, advertising, sales, circulation, production in this program. And it was a terrific entrance into the newspaper business. So that's how it all happened.
And Sue, were you born and bred in Montana?
No. Although I'm happy to say that both my parents and all four grandparents are buried in Montana. So I feel, even though I was born and brought up in Wisconsin, I have roots.
And you taught French for a while, right?
That's right. I spent my junior year of college in France. And then after we were married, John was sent by the CIA to Paris. I went along. And our son was born in Paris.
Peter.
And then when we came back, I taught school briefly in Billings, and then in Missoula, taught French, loved it, loved everything about it.
How's your French now? Is it pretty good?
You know, at my age, it begins to get a little rusty. But we're having French house guests this summer, and we go to France every once in a while, so it doesn't go away altogether.
All right.
Actually, I think her French is pretty darn good.
I'm sure it's way better than mine. You came to Montana in 1970 to Missoula.
Missoula in 1970. That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, John, you were publisher of the Missoulian for 10 years, right?
Right, 1970 to 1980. That's exactly right.
And you came here not only to work, but to be part of the community. And Sue, talk a little bit about what you felt at that time about Missoula when you came here, and what prompted you and John to be so active in the community and not just come here and see it as a place to work.
Well, yes. And, you know, part of it may have been the fact that I was born and brought up in Madison, Wisconsin, a university town, lovely town. But I always felt that there was a sort of a town-gown rivalry, the university community versus the Madison community. And when we arrived in Missoula, I discovered that wasn't true at all, that I see that all of our Missoula friends who are not involved with the university have lots of university friends. I see university faculty and staff very much involved in nonprofits in the community, you know, the food bank or the United Way. And the other way around, I see community people, well, I see them right here on KUFM at fundraising time answering the phones. I see them involved in the Molly summer camp, for example, as volunteers. So I think we are all really, truly all one community in Missoula.
John, a fair number of people get involved in a civic group or two. You know, they might join Rotary or do something that is tied to their personal interests. But you guys, I mean, the groups and causes you've been involved in run in the dozens. I can't even list them all, but it's everything from United Way to Missoula Youth Homes to the Arts Council to the Choral Festival and on and on and on.
You know, following on what Sue was saying, something that really opened my eyes very soon after we got here in the early 1970s, Bob Panzer was president of the university at that time, and he was trying to, I can't remember now, he was trying to accomplish something with the legislature in Helena, and the Chamber of Commerce organized bus trips to Helena for people in the community to help support what the university needed. And I thought this was truly remarkable that this city was just stepping up and doing whatever it could for the university. In fact, I said to the current president, Royce Engstrom, the other, when he announced to us this idea of this award, I said, I think you've got this backwards. We have benefited as a family so much from the University of Montana in the years we've been here. We've benefited a lot more than the university has benefited from us. And he smiled and all, but I believe it. I mean, when I think of the concerts and the recitals by faculty, music recitals and the plays and football games, I mean, the benefit for this community from the university is huge. I can hardly imagine this city without the University of Montana. So we got the idea right from the beginning that this was a very cooperative venture between the university and the rest of the community.
Do either of you have a concern about what is nationally anyway, and probably a little bit locally, a decline in civic involvement and a decline in volunteerism, et cetera, as people become more and more locked into relating to each other online versus in person? Do you have any concern about that?
I don't see that in Missoula. I'm kind of finding it rewarding to go to, you know, banquets and events and that sort of thing and realize that I don't know three-quarters of the people there as I used to, and a lot of them are young couples. I think sometimes the nonprofits, for example, that used to attract a certain age group, it may be another age group now, but that's the fun of working for these organizations and working with them. I think both John and I have met such an interesting group of people outside of our regular circle of friends and people from all walks of life, young and old, well-to-do and struggling, but almost everybody I know is doing something, whether it's through the school PTA or through something at the university.
There is such a sense of pride here, isn't there, John?
Yes.
It's a pride in place as much as anything.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a great place to live. There's no doubt about it. I have a brother who lives in Washington, D.C., and he can't wait to get to Missoula, Montana. He'll come for skiing in the winter and fishing and hiking in the summer. I mean, believe it or not, he thinks it's a fantastic shopping city, too. they live in Washington, but... Well, any of you who know Washington, it takes a long time to get to your store in Washington. They think, they just love Missoula, and so do we.
Before I let you go, I do want to get some of your thoughts, given that both of you have journalism in your blood, about what you think about journalism today that's undergone such a revolution in my lifetime and your lifetime. And is it a revolution for good or ill, John?
I worry about it all the time, actually. I cannot figure out what's coming down the road in the way we get news. I have so many friends who say, I get all the news I need on the internet. And I think, yeah, but most of that's coming out of the staffs of newspapers somewhere. I mean, it's originated by human beings in a newspaper newsroom. And as the newspaper business gets more and more difficult, how are you going to get this news on the internet? And I think that's a question that I don't know that anybody can answer right now. People don't very much like to pay for things on the internet. They're not used to that. I kind of think that newspapers will survive, and they're not going to look quite the way they used to. I think they may charge a lot more for them. You may have to pay more to get your newspaper, and that will probably mean that there's a smaller circulation. But there are people who need to know a lot about what's happening in the community. And, I mean, they want the news from the city council and the school board, and I think this will keep some, at least some newspapers going. But the rest of it's kind of a mystery to me.
Me too. Sue, what do you think your father would think about journalism today? He was such a newspaper guy through and through.
Well, yes, he was. He loved it. He lived it. He felt, I think, that it was such an important part of a democracy. And that was one of the reasons why he cared so much about changing the way newspapering was done in Montana when he was enabling them to be involved in Montana newspapers, that it was time that the legislature wasn't entirely purchased by a big company. And I think he would be happy. I think he would be as concerned as we are about whether the young people are getting as much in-depth information that you can get from a newspaper or a radio station like KUFM and finding out more than just the headlines.
I think in Montana, the state of journalism is pretty good. Don't you, John?
Well, I'm always amazed by the people that I worked with in our journalism school here who say that young people are still very passionate about the idea of journalism. They don't think of it in terms of newspapers particularly. They do think of it as online news. And maybe they're going to be able to make something of this and make it work well. Sue mentioned KUFM, and I should have mentioned that a little bit earlier, too, that when I was thinking of the benefits we have gotten from the University of Montana over the years, listening to KUFM is one of those big benefits.
Yes.
It really
you're
is.
You're sweet.
I'm not just saying it.
We're addicted.
I have been speaking with John and Sue Talbot, who, as I mentioned earlier, will receive this weekend an honorary doctorate of humane letters for their service to the University of Montana and to Missoula and to Montana. And it's an honor I can't imagine two people who are more deserving than you two. So thank you both for everything.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you, Sally. Thanks very much.